to the Gateway to the Smokies podcast. This podcast is about America's most visited national park, the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, and the surrounding towns. This area is filled with ancient natural beauty, a deep storied history, and rich mountain cultures that we explore with weekly episodes. I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, a man of the world, but also with deep roots in these mountains. My family has lived in the Great Smokies for over 200 years. My business is in travel, but my heart is in culture. Today, we're going to talk about Jackson County, North Carolina. But first, let's talk about some sponsor messages. I want you to imagine a place evocative of motor courts of the past, yet modern and vibrant with a chic Appalachian feel, a place for adventure and for relaxation. Imagine a place where you can fish in a mountain heritage trout stream, grill the catch on a fire, and eat accompanied by fine wines or craft beers. Imagine a place with old-time music and world cultural sounds. There is no other place like the Meadowlark Motel in Maggie Valley. Your Smoky Mountain adventure starts with where you stay. Another sponsor is Smokies Adventure, Smokies plural adventure singular.com. The Smoky Mountains and surrounding areas are a vacation destination for all seasons. Some of the nation's best hiking trails, waterfalls, outdoor adventures, and family entertainment can be found right here. Start your adventure by using smokiesadventure.com to explore all the wonderful features of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. That includes trails and waterfalls, Cades Cove, where a lot of the elk are, and more. Then check out all the awesome family attractions and entertainment you and your entire family can enjoy. And don't hesitate to look for places to hold outdoor life events like weddings and honeymoons, because we have it all here in the Smokies. The goal of SmokiesAdventure.com is to become the leading information portal for adventures and experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains. I want to tell you about an event coming up. It's at the Meadowlark Motel. It's a fly fishing camp. What's better for the soul than throwing a line upstream, watching it pass, doing it again and again, and perhaps getting a bite? All anglers know that fly fishing isn't only about reeling in the big one. Although that's always gets our heart a-jumping, fly fishing is about being one with the river and its magnificent presence while witnessing a valuable ecosystem. The Meadowlark Motel is offering a fly fishing camp weekend on April 15th through the 17th of 2022 in the Smoky Mountains in Maggie Valley. Our goal is to bring like-minded people together to bond and become friends through fly fishing, food, drinks, stories, and campfires. There'll be fishing tales and beverages and food and lodging. And then there'll be a half day of instruction and then a 4 or 5 hours of intense fishing on a regional trout stream. Plus the whole backyard of this mountain, the Meadowlark Motel, has a mountain heritage stocked stream with rainbow trout and brown trout to fish at your pleasure and practice what you learn. So be sure to come out there. And again, there'll be free food and campfires and lodging. Call 828-926-1717 to reserve your place at this weekend's. It's this coming weekend's fly fishing camp. We're talking about fly fishing, and we're also going to be talking about Jackson County, which has a little bit to do with trout fishing. So I found a poem by a woman named Mrs. Eunice B. Lamberton, which she wrote in 1873. Called trout fishing. Give me a rod of the split bamboo, a rainy day or a fly or two, a mountain stream where the eddies play and mists hang low o'er the winding way. Give me a haunt by the furling brook, a hidden spot in a mossy nook. No sound save for the hum of the drowsy bee or lone bird's tap on the hollow tree. The world may roll with its busy throng and phantom scenes on its way along. Its stock may rise, its stocks may fall. Ah, what care I for its baubles all? I cast my fly over the troubled rill, luring the beauties by magic skill, with a mind at rest and a heart at ease, and a drink and drink delight at the balmy breeze. A lusty trout, to my glad surprise, speckled and bright on the crest arise, then splash and plunge in a dazzling world. Hope springs anew as the wavelets curl, gracefully swinging from left to right, action so gentle, motion so slight, tempting, enticing on craft, intent, till yielding tip by the game is bent. Drawing in slowly, then letting go, under the ripples where the mosses grow, doubting my fortune, lost in a dream, blessing the land of forest and stream. That was a beautiful poem, and it's repeated quite often in a lot of fishing clubs around the United States. So I have a guest here today who knows a little bit about trout, because he comes from a county that's famous for its trout fishing. His name is Kelly Donaldson, and he's a graduate of Pisgah High School in Canton, which is the arch nemesis of my alma mater, Tuscola High School. And he's also a graduate of Western Carolina University in Cullowhee, NC. And Donaldson spent 15 years as a sports journalist and editor of various publications in Western North Carolina and Georgia. But for the last 8 years, he has been an assistant director of the Jackson County, North Carolina Chamber of Commerce. How are you doing, Kelly?
I'm great. It's hard to follow that poem. That was awesome.
Hey, I think I got into that poem, didn't I? I haven't done that. A little bit of a dramatic reading like that in a while.
I might have to borrow that sometime.
Yeah. Get me to ham it up a little bit, right?
That is great. Very
so
nice.
So you started your career as a technical writer and then executive assistant in sales and marketing. Was that your long-term career plans to be involved in technical and marketing fields?
Sort of. I always kind of thought that I would be in some kind of media form, and I wish that the job market was like it is today back when I was looking for a job out of college, because it was tough to find what I wanted to go into. So you kind of had to take what you could get, and that was as close as I could get at the time, right. Out of college.
Cool. What were the learning foundations you got in your original, the first careers that you had?
Oh, wow. The first job I had, it was working for a private investigation company.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
They did like workers' compensation cases. So the investigators would go out and take video of someone that's, you know, had laid out of work for 6 months with an injury they accrued at Walmart or somewhere. And then they would send back their handwritten notes, and I had to type it up, make it sound nice for a court docket. So we saw some interesting things come across our desk on video.
So it was legal technical in a sense.
Yes, right? It wasn't very creative or exciting, but it was my first job.
Well, then how did you, then right after that, you transitioned to becoming a sports editor. How did you make that jump? That's a pretty different line of work.
It is. That's what I wanted to do. That was the goal coming out of college. So I finally got it. I got an opportunity to work over in Brevard in Transylvania County for the Transylvania Times. It's been there a long time. It's still a great paper. And Stella Trapp was the one that hired me. She's a legend in North Carolina journalism. So just kind of cut my teeth over there and started covering Brevard high school football games and all their sports, Brevard College athletics and Rosman High School. And when school was out, I was able to do some features on different topics. I did one on log cabins one summer, and I did one on bluegrass music one summer, and just some of the things that I really enjoyed and had an interest in. So it was a good way to get out and meet the community that I didn't already know in the high school sports world.
Oh, cool. You know, this area, high school sports is a pretty important thing.
It's amazing. It really is. Just all across the region, you know, just coming from Pisgah, I know how important it is there. And my parents grew up, you know, going to Canton High School when they were winning, you know, state championships back in the day. And Brevard's no different. You know, they had some state championships. They actually had the first integrated football team in the state. So they had a great history there as well. So, and then, you know, it's the same out through here in Silva and going out to Murphy and in those areas.
Oh man, I that was a long trip to go out to Murphy to play, but I remember we did that once or twice. So
yeah, it's a tough one.
that was a tough trip.
Yep.
So then you, after doing a stint as sports editor, you got to be the editor of the Crossroad Chronicle and Cashiers. How was that experience?
It was great. It was great. I went from Brevard to Morganton and worked there a couple of years, and then went to Gainesville, Georgia, and worked there a few years. And each of those places were dailies. So I'd kind of gone from being like a biweekly to a daily newspaper at both of those. So going to Georgia, I kind of got more into the like Georgia Bulldogs and Georgia Tech and the Braves and the Falcons and bigger sports. And then just, you know, it's a tough life. It's when you think about when you like to watch sports and when the greatest sports games are on, it's you know, it's late at night and it's on the weekend, so it doesn't do much for your social life. So coming to Cashers, it gave me a chance to work more of a 9-to-5 schedule and kind of expand, you know, my abilities beyond sports. I was covering more county commissioner meetings and things like that.
You got to cover a lot. What was the biggest story you covered at the time?
Oh, wow. Just how they cope with growth up there. Just, you know, they're not really incorporated, and just the influx of tourists there and how they cope with it, but yet not be incorporated. It's a challenge up there, but they make it work.
They make it work. Well, were tourism coming up there for mountains or waterfalls? What were they coming up there for?
I think so. The cooler weather, you know, it's a lot of people from Florida and Georgia that want to come up here. That's, summertime.
A lot of that similar to this area too. You know?
It is. It's very similar. It's kind of a ghost town in the wintertime, which is, you know, some the locals like it.
Yeah. Maggie goes from a few thousand to a few hundred.
That's correct. That's
exactly. All right. Well, we got to take a break already, and we'll come back and we'll talk more about Jackson County.
That sounds great.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Howdy, this is Joseph Franklin McElroy, back with the Gateway to the Smokies podcast, and my guest, Kelly Donalds. So, Kelly, you left the Crossroads Chronicle, right, about after seven, 8 years. And you went into something called Main Street Silver Team. You made a big transition, didn't you, from being an editor writing game into all of a sudden sort of community work? How did that happen?
It's really been a natural progression when I think about what I'm actually doing at the chamber. But when I was there at the paper in Cashers, I became really involved in the community doing volunteer work. And I was asked to be on the board of directors. They have their own Chamber of Commerce in Cashers. So I was on their board of directors for a few years and just immediately fell in love with it. It was just very interesting planning events and just everything involved with what the Chamber of Commerce does in the community. So just kind of got to know people and got more involved in the community and realized that's what I wanted to do. And this opportunity came up in Silva. So I jumped on it and it's been a great fit. Just, you know, writing press releases, you know, I probably do that once a week at least. And, you know, taking photographs at the newspaper, I'm the guy that's always walking around our events, taking photographs and videos and things like that. So it's a really natural progression. You know, at the newspaper, I was uploading a lot of stuff to our Facebook pages and websites, and that's kind of the same thing I'm doing.
The nuts and bolts of it is very similar, right?
It really is. I've never really thought about that, but they're very similar.
Cool. Well, you know, we were really excited to have you join us for the reasons, because a big part of what we do is letting our audience know about great things and people and places and regions, and allowing us to be their base camp for creating their own memorable experiences of the Smokies.
Absolutely.
And especially if we can get them to come to our Metal Arc Motel, but in general.
Sure.
And then, like you said, you know, you're using the same sort of tactics and techniques to promote Jackson County. Is that a fair statement? Yeah. Is that what, you know?
It really is. You know, I think we're all just, you know, when I first started, you know, in Brevard, it was just, you know, it was old school, like using glue, you know, taping the copy onto the board on a piece of paper and shooting it that way on plates. And, you know, now it's just, you know, the social media world has just changed everything.
My God. You know, my first ever effort at promoting something, believe it or not, using technology was in the early 90s. I became one of those mass faxers. I was one of the ones they made a law not to do it anymore. But all I was doing was mass faxing out my resume and looking for computer consulting work. But right. I sort of helped invent that. But that was like, before that, nobody knew how to get their information out other than spending money on a stamp to everybody, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It has changed a lot, right?
I remember shooting pictures at football games, and you know, it would be Monday before I ever saw the pictures because we did it on film, and you know we'd drop them off at CVS or Walgreens on Saturday morning, and I'd get them back on Monday. And now if I go to an event, you know, I can post it to our Facebook page just right there immediately. So it's just amazing how
I think it's changed. My first job with IBM, I was a computer programmer. I would program for these big, what was called communications controllers, but I never even saw one for the first 2 years I had the job. I would just write code and send it off, and then it'd come back in these big dumps of hexadecimal codes. It was crazy. But anyway, it's a new world.
It is.
You know, what else is exciting about you is you work with your wife, Julie, just like I work with my wife, Simone. But she's technically your boss. I guess I can relate to that. my wife Simone and I own the Metal Arc and the Heritage Center, and we also run some other businesses. So I really appreciate the fact. How's it for you juggling family and business obligations together?
Sure. It's been great. I really don't have any complaints. It's just as smooth as it can be. It's you know, we're best friends, most of all. And we keep our work at work and our home stuff at home, and don't try to, it's not something that we do consciously. I think it's just kind of naturally how we do it. And it works great. I think a lot of it has to do with, we really enjoy what we're doing. You know, it's like, it doesn't seem like work when you're having fun. And that's kind of how we are. We just, we both kind of do different things at the chamber. So we're not constantly, you know, at each other's necks working on the same project. It's she's got her skills and I've got mine. And, right. you know, we really don't spend a ton of face-to-face time at work, but it's just, we love it. And on the weekends, we'll find random moments where we'll be like, hey, here's an idea for something at work. Just put this on the back burner till we get back on Monday.
Yeah.
So it's great.
Well, now, what do you have, 600 members now?
We do. We have about 400 members. And within those 400 members, there's about 600 individuals associated with those businesses. So it's...
That's a good number of businesses. All those are in Silva?
Jackson County. And then we have a random handful that might be in Haywood County or in Macon County or kind of just on the outskirts. But most are in Jackson County.
Cool. Well, let's talk about some of the projects, the cool projects you got going on in Jackson County, because I think that there's people who'd like to be involved with some of this and come visit you for some of these.
Absolutely.
So, let's start with the improvements you've done to the Pinnacle Creek Park. Aren't you adding a world-class mountain bike trail there?
They are. That is something that our town of Silva, that's their property. And they're working with our Tourism Development Authority and some other organizations to like SORBA, the bicycling organization, to extend it and make it more bike friendly, make it longer. So that's something that they're working on. It just got certified as a certified forest therapy trail. Mm-hmm. And that was something that the town and the Tourism Development Authority worked on together. And then they're constantly trying to make improvements to it's I don't know if you've been up there or familiar with, but it's pretty strenuous. It's a good hike and it's kind of rocky. So,
How big is it? It is
about 3.5 miles up, 3.5 back for 7 miles. And they're constantly kind of, you know, however you can go at it different ways and make it almost like 9 miles if you want to. They're constantly improving it. We're doing some cool things at the chamber. Where if you make it to the top, you know, if you take a picture, you can come back down. We've got a logbook in our chamber where people can come in and sign the logbook. I tackled the Pinnacle, and we've got stickers that we give them, and we'll take your picture and make a little post that you've made it up Pinnacle, and just things like that to kind of add some fun to it. We've got, you know, a lot of waterfalls and hiking trails around us, but Pinnacle's the one that's, you know, when you're on Main Street in Silva, you can see it from Main Street. So it's the one that's closest to us. So wow. It's cool.
And would you say it's safe to say that Western North Carolina in general, especially Haywood County and Jackson County and Asheville, have really stepped up the game to become mountain bike central, right?
I think so. I mean, it's a great place to do it. You know, there's just all kinds of, we're the trout capital. But you know, fishing's great in Haywood County. Fishing's great in Pennsylvania County. You know, it's really, you know, Western North Carolina is just a special place in general. And but you know, mountain biking, we're getting a lot more requests for that. We're getting our town board is right now, you know, juggling putting in a skate park. It's just, you know, things that you have to kind of listen to what the public wants. And that may not be my thing, but there's enough uproar about it to they're considering it. So that's kind of cool.
You mentioned Jackson County being the North Carolina trout capital. How did that come about? Did you have something to do with that?
A little bit. When I first started at the chamber, Julie had kind of already got the ball down the road on that some. She had created the WNC Fly Fishing Trail, which is 15 spots in Jackson County along the Tuckasegee River, which runs north and south up Jackson County. So after that, we've got the record rainbow trout in Jackson County. We get stocked with more trout than any other county in the state. So it was just kind of all these things came together to kind of, she'd come up with the idea, let's be the trout capital. So when I joined, that ball was already rolling. So I just kind of helped get behind it and push a little bit. So,
in general, Western North Carolina is great for trout fishing everywhere.
It really is.
But you guys took the ball to get the ball to claim it, right?
Yeah. It really is. Yeah, we did. And, you know, Swain County is a great place. And, you know, there's not a bad place to fish in Western North Carolina, really. Yeah, okay. So it's just a big effort. And it's been real popular. We've got, you know, the fly fishing trail map. It's one of our most popular things that we do. It's, you know, we get...
Is the Western North Carolina fly fishing trail? That's more than just Jackson County, right?
No, it's Jackson County only. It was something.
Western, the fly fishing trail is Jackson County only?
It is. Yeah, it's something that
you got to expand that out, Hayward County. I know. Get them over to Jay Creek. Come on.
we hear that a lot. So
yeah.
It's a lot to keep up with. You know, Julie works very hard every day. She tries to get. We've got probably close to 10 fishing guides that we deal with that, you know, they post their big fish pictures and we share them on Facebook and they help. We do a fly fishing report every week. So they help us out with that and kind of tell people, you know, what time of day they're supposed to be biting and what they're biting on and things like that. So it's a lot just to keep up with our own county people, but it's great. It's, I don't know if we could take on many more.
Maybe we can get a coalition of chambers to coordinate one that's something else. But anyway, I heard you were one of the originators of the Hook, Line, and Drinker Festival. That sounds pretty interesting to me. What is that?
Oh, it's fun. It's my favorite thing that we do at the chamber. We started it in along with the Trout Capital and the Fly Fishing Trail. And we have great craft breweries in town and lots of outdoor gear type people. So we thought, you know, let's have a festival to kind of celebrate being the trout capital and the home of the fly fishing trail. So we would have about 20 vendors, outdoorsy, fly fishing, and then craft beer. And then we'd have a few bands play at the Bridge Park in Silva. And it was about 4 hours from 3 to 7 every May. And just, you know, kind of grew. This was going to be our fifth year. And, you know, COVID kind of hurt us last year and we had it, but it was later and kind of reduced. And then this year with the staffing shortage, a lot of our fishing vendors and beer vendors couldn't spare the staff to come to the festival. Wow. So we decided to postpone it till 2023, but I've got my fingers crossed we're going to be able to do it.
Well, sounds like a fun event, and I'm looking forward to come out and visit you. You know, I spent the eclipse in Sylvan. You guys did a great job there.
Oh, great!
So, yeah. Well, we have to take a break, and we'll come back and talk about more things that are happening in Sylvan and Jackson County in general.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on TalkRadio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Howdy, this is Joseph Franklin McElroy back with the Gateway to the Smokies podcast and my guest, Kelly Donaldson. So, Kelly, you know, the Metalark Motel is one of the last time I looked, it's the only 3-pine rated motel west of Asheville. And that's the award the state gives to sustainable and green, you know, green lodging and restaurants and different kinds of things. So we're pretty proud of that.
That's fantastic.
I know that, you know, Jackson County and Silva has had this long time, this Greening Up the Mountain Festival.
That's right.
What it stands for. Are you going to have it again this year?
We are. It's just in 2 weeks. A little less than two weeks. It's on April 23rd, and it'll be our 24th annual event. So that's right up our alley. That's how the festival got started. It was, you know, kind of meant to, A, celebrate, you know, that the mountains are actually greening up and all the leaves are starting to come back and get the spring colors out there. But also just to kind of celebrate green living, recycling, you know, that whole movement. And it was a lot of, you know, farm to table type stuff and nonprofits, you know, just kind of that thing. It just grew and grew and grew. And, you know, I've heard several times that, you know, some of the biggest ones, there was over 10,000 people there. It's just, wow. It's a great event. It's free. It's all, they closed the streets, up and down Main Street is closed. And then the Bridge Park has music. We've had two stages before. We've kind of tamped it down to just one stage. But it's just been incredible. The first few times I went, I just went as a fan and just kind of wandered around. And then when I was with the Cashers Mountain Music Festival, I was a vendor. And then when I came to the chamber, I got involved with their organizing committee and somehow became the stage MC. So I don't know how that
happened. Wow, fabulous. So you do a little public facing stuff, huh?
All That's right. right.
So it's got music, it's got food, right?
And
it's
got, it does.
It's got vendors displaying crafts and things, and then also information about greenery, and then it's got like farm-to-tables type stuff, and like farmer's market type thing.
Yep, it's a little bit of everything. It's just a lot of fun, a lot of, you know, family-friendly fun, and just kids love it.
That's in 2 weeks, basically. And that's
it is. It's on the 23rd, and hopefully the weather's going to be nice. We've got 4 or 5 bands, some of our local favorite bands.
Where can people find out more about that?
That would be on greeningupthemountains.com.
Greeningupthemountains.com. All right.
That's right. That's a Town of Silva event, and it's Greening Up the Mountains has its own little organizing committee. So at the chamber, we help and we kind of man the information booth.
Well, speaking of music, you are involved with the concerts. I think it's called the Concerts on the Creek series that runs from May to Labor Day.
That's correct.
Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. That's something that Julie started, and it's in its 15th year now. 13th, I'm sorry. And we have it's free 7 to 9 on Fridays from Memorial Day through Labor Day. And we have a lot of our local regional bands perform there. And we ask for donations, but it's a great free night out for families and just a lot of fun. Sometimes we have food trucks that show up and do some things and icy trucks, but it's just a great event. We try to mix it up with the bands and
which bands you got any names that we know coming there?
Absolutely. Darren Nicholson, of course, from Balsam Range.
We've had him at our place. He's good.
He's fantastic. So he's from Tuckasegee originally in Jackson County. So we always try to have Darren here. We had Balsam Range in the beginning, but they're out of our price range now. So Darren always comes and helps us. We still love the Balsam Range guys too. We've got the Maggie Valley Band coming. They're from your neck of the woods, and got some Shane Mead in the Sound is one. Alma Russ is one. She's got an album coming out, and she plays a lot locally in Waynesville. And you know, we get a lot of people that play over there as well across Balsam.
I heard you were involved with the Cashiers Music Festival, and you got people like Doc Watson and Steve Canyon Rangers to come to that. That must have been pretty cool.
It was. That's, you know, one of the greatest things I've ever been involved with. And I hate that it's not still around, but it was a lot of fun. It's just another thing that I kind of got started going to as a volunteer and somehow became like a co-director of it. And it was just fantastic and just a you know, just I can't believe what really happened there. It's like seeing Doc Watson backstage and you know, telling him where he needs to go. And, you know, Earl Scruggs kind of, he was at the point where he needed some help to walk up to the stage. And just, you know, those are things that I won't ever forget. And just to see people in the crowd just, you know, almost in tears, just, you know, thinking back to the Beverly Hillbilly days, you know, and just, you know, there's so many people that just have great memories of Doc Watson and Earl Scruggs that are just really enjoyed it. And it meant a lot to them.
Wow. Well, Cashiers, I mean, you were involved in Cashiers. Well, you had some good stuff going on. You had Groovin' in the Greens.
That's correct. That's like their Concerts on the Creek. It's pretty much the same thing, just Memorial Day to Labor Day, Fridays about 7 to 9.
And then a Leaf Festival, that still goes on, right?
It does. Yep. I looked today to see if make sure that was still going on, and it is. I think it's October 7th through the 9th, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a great event. It's a lot of arts and crafts vendors at the Village Green and Cashiers, and they have some music and things like that.
So Jackson County is also known for waterfalls, isn't it?
It is. It is. We have a waterfall and hiking trail map. This is probably one of our main things that we give out, and it's got all of our waterfalls that are located in Jackson County. We've got about 21 on this piece, and then our hiking trails are on here, and then our multiple use trails for ATVs and bikes and things like that. But I'd say, you know, no surprise, that's probably the number one thing that people come in asking about is, you know, where's the best hiking trail, where's the best waterfall, and where's a good place to get a bite to eat and a beer.
what do you think are the four or five most beautiful waterfalls?
I really enjoy going to White Waterfalls. It's the tallest waterfall this side of the Mississippi, and it's just beautiful. You know, it's an easy walk. You know, if you've got some challenged people in your group that, you know, have some physical abilities that they can't hike a rough trail, it's a very easy paved path, and it's less than a mile up to where you can see the whole thing. So it's nice. It's a pretty good little haul. You're kind of getting right on the edge of the Jackson County, Transylvania line, but it's beautiful. And I love going to Whiteside Mountain. It's right on the Macon Jackson line, and it's my favorite view in this area. And then again, it's probably a little tougher hike, but it's not that far. And for, you know, an avid hiker, it's a pretty easy hike. So those are my two favorites. And a lot of times it just depends on when we get visitors coming in from other areas. It just depends on how much time they have. They may be just here for a few hours and passing through to come to Maggie Valley, or they may be here for the whole week. So there's a nice little loop that they can do, that like from Silva to Cashers to Highlands back down to Franklin. And that's where you can see like places like High Falls, Bridalveil Falls, which, you know, you used to be able to drive behind it, but now I think you can just walk behind it, I believe. But that's where, if you look at our map, that there's like a horseshoe of, that's where most of the good water.
I think I've walked behind that one in the Highlands. It's near Highlands, right? That, yeah, that's a nice one.
It is.
I want to emphasize to people that, you know, because I've been reading some bad news today, don't jump in the falls and don't jump in the things unless it's clearly designated you can, because it becomes extremely dangerous. Now
it's every year, you know, we see
every it year. And a sad one, you know, so, but, so, you know, be very, very, especially about young children, you know, around those falls. But that being said, you know, some of them you can get in the water, right?
Absolutely. You know, we've got a lot of great little swimming holes, and the Tuckasegee River is great to swim in. Lake Glenville is a great place. So there's lots of places to get in the water besides getting at the top of a slippery waterfall.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
So you have something called a STIR program. Can you explain the idea behind that?
Absolutely. Again, that's something that Julie started, and she it's a business after hours. I think most towns have a business after hours type deal where, you know, after work, you get together at one business and invite all your chamber membership to come. And that business gets to kind of showcase what they're all about. And you have hors d'oeuvres and drinks and mingle, network with your fellow chamber members. So it's a great program. We do it once a month. And we're just now getting back to a regular groove again after COVID. So it's great to see everybody come together, and it's like they haven't seen each other in 2 years. So it's just nice to get back to normal a little bit. And
I know we're all striving to get back there, right?
Yeah, we are, but it's a great chance to just, you know, it may be some place you've never thought about going, but you end up learning a lot about that business. And hopefully down the road, you know, somebody's going to approach you about, hey, where can I get my car fixed? And you'll remember that we had that business after hours over there and send them over there, and vice versa. So that's kind of what it's supposed to do.
How much was tourism affected in Jackson County? And, you know, I know in some regards, local travel became bigger. And so, you know, tourism increased, I think, generally in the area. But exactly. It also changed. How would you characterize it as changed? And what do you think it'll change back to?
I think, you know, obviously I don't go to Julie's involved with our Tourism Development Authority, but just from what I've heard from her and seen numbers wise, you know, we had some of our best months ever, you know, during COVID. I think people from larger cities felt safer to come here. And we, you know, with our outdoors, you didn't feel as bunched in as you did in a larger city. I think sadly a result of COVID is what we're all seeing with, you know, staffing issues and things like that. So it's it's been I hope we can get past that.
All right.
The staffing issues, because, you know, like the hook, line, and drinker, that is what is the reason why we're not having it. So hopefully we'll get past that. But I know our business owners are struggling, you know, trying to find people to, it's just, I don't know why people aren't going back to work, but it's just frustrating.
Oh, well, there's lots of, you know, there's lots of needs of people getting paid more. It's hard to find them on, especially for hospitality jobs, or, you know, a lot of times have traditionally not been looked upon, you know, as being lucrative and big futures. You know, I'm trying to change that. You know, I'm starting to offer health insurance to everybody that works here. And, you know, you have to start looking at it as a, you know, making it more into a career than just a sort of a, you know, throwaway job that just anybody can do. You know, it's a different world we're living in now.
But it sure is.
It sure is. Well, we got to take another break, and then we'll come back and finish up with some specific things that you recommend for people to do, and some other things that you've done. All right.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
All pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Howdy, this is Joseph Franklin McElroy, back with the Gateway to the Smokies podcast, and my guest, Kelly Donaldson. So, Kelly, you guys do really well with events over there in Jackson County, especially Sylva. You know, I've been over to a couple events. You have that nice little area. I guess you'd call it a fairgrounds, almost like Maggie has a fairgrounds. And I'm tell you what they did for the eclipse was an amazing program with, you know, professors there telling you what was happening and music. It was good and cutting into town. But I hear you got some amazing fireworks that happen there. You have the 4th of July and you have Christmas too.
That's right.
Fireworks on Christmas. Tell me about that.
Yep, we do. When right after the first year I worked at the chamber, we didn't have fireworks in Sylva. They used to be shot near the historic courthouse. And after years and years and years, they decided that's not a good idea because I think they found some little burn holes up at the top of the courthouse and decided it's not a good idea to have it there anymore. So we went a few years without having it in Sylva and brought it back. And it's been a huge hit. We've moved it down the road a little ways, but you can see it from the park that you're talking about, the Bridge Park. So people can come. We have a big concert, about a 4-hour concert, and it's always a fun kind of dance band with classic hits. And then at dark, everybody can turn around and see the fireworks over town. It's visible from all over Main Street and the courthouse and everything. So it's been a lot of fun. The holiday fireworks started because of COVID. It's, you know, everybody was just down and depressed, wanted to do something. And we had long story short, somebody contacted us and wanted to know if we'd be interested in having fireworks for the holidays. And we said, why not? So we thought it'd be a way for people to get together, but not necessarily be close, and just kind of come show up, not have a concert, just be downtown and just watch the fireworks. They're, you know, holiday theme colors. Mm-hmm. And it's a little shorter show, but we've had two now, and they're really great shows. They're almost as good as our July 4th fireworks.
Well, it's out of the ordinary. So I'm sure people just sort of get ecstatic about it. It's like,
they do. Yeah. And we've had great weather. And the second year we had free hot chocolate at the chamber. And
it would be great if it snowed and you had fireworks. I think that'd be fantastic. Beautiful.
It'd be pretty awesome. We'll have to talk to old Saint Nick about that.
Yeah. So, you know, we haven't talked much about some other towns like Dillsboro. I love little Dillsboro.
Yeah, Dillsboro's great.
Yeah. What kind of programs are you doing there?
We have a little visitor center there in Dillsboro, and the train comes from time to time. The Great Smoky Mountains Railroad used to, you know, have a little hub there, and then it kind of went away, and then they kind of come, you know, every so often, more in the season, you know, kind of from Memorial Day to leaf season. And there's lots of great arts and crafts in Dillsboro. Innovation Brewing started in Sylva. They opened up a second location in Dillsboro, kind of near where the train station was, called Innovation Station. We've got some great restaurants down there. They have a good group, the Dillsboro Merchants and the Dillsboro group down there. They have a lot of festivals during the year. This coming weekend is the Easter Hat Parade. I don't know if you've never been to the Easter Hat Parade.
I've been to one in New York City, but I love Easter Hat Parades. Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic. They parade down Main Street there, and just kind of everybody's got their little hats on, and there's usually antique cars come out and Mini Coopers, and it's a lot of fun. But they have five different festivals throughout the year. At Christmas, they have the Lights and Luminaries festival, where they put the little bags with candles in them out on Main Street, and everybody goes around, does their Christmas shopping, and Santa Claus is riding around, so it's fun. Right.
Cool. Is there any other festivals in other towns you want to mention?
Gosh, I like all of them. When we have time, we try to go to the others. We love Jackson County and Sylva and Dillsboro and everywhere, but you know, we're just so blessed to live in such a great area. We enjoy coming to Haywood County. That's where I'm from, so we come over there quite a bit, and we love, you know, going to Bryson City and Brevard and all of our great towns.
There you go. So you have, I want to mention that you have two big publications. You're still in the editing game. You have town Relocation and Eating Out in Jackson County, right?
We do. We just put those out. The Our Town publication, we put it out once a year, and it's basically our membership directory. So it has all of our members in the back in a directory format, and then it kind of covers all the events that we do throughout the year. And we try to get some stories in there when we can. And then we do the dining out, eating out in Jackson County guide. And it's just basically nothing but our restaurants and breweries and things like that. So we do those once a year. They're super popular. And then our Tourism Development Authority does our visitor guide. And the chamber is responsible for getting that out. So people can either request it on the website or call and request it. And we're the source for getting that mailed out to everybody.
Well, put on your personal hat, take off your hat as assistant director of the chamber. Is there any favorite restaurant you have in Jackson County?
Oh boy, that's tough. You know, that's like asking a parent who their favorite child is, or,
how about one that's pretty close to you, that's just convenient and you really love. So there's, that's the only reason you're mentioning it.
Boy, I tell you, you're going to get me in trouble. I'll just say we have a lot of great restaurants on Main Street in Silva and Dillsboro. And we've got a good mix. We've got seafood. We've got, more high-end things, like a place called Ilda is right on the corner of where Mill and Main break up. It's new and it's got very high-end food. The seafood, we've got Creekside Oyster House, which is always popular, and it's right on the creek. It's kind of nice to sit indoor, outdoors. We got lots of great pizza, like Speedy's Pizza and Mad Batter. And, this past weekend we had our, it's an annual brew hop, which the Main Street Silva Association organizes. It features all of our breweries in downtown. We have Lazy Hiker, Balsam Falls, Innovation, and Nanahala, and Innovation has another site in Dillsboro. And then Whiteside Brewing is up in Cashers. So we're blessed to have some great breweries in town.
That's a great thing. So I got to close it up here. We got to close up everything. So why don't you do some shout outs, how people can find out some things about the chamber, about your towns, or whatever you'd like to let them know about.
Absolutely. First of all, I want to thank my wife, because I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing without her. So she's the best. And she
would be sitting right there on the other side of the camera.
She was giving me some instructions there a while ago.
I heard the whisper.
Yeah. But she's the best, and she's been doing this for 23 years. So she's Jackson County's greatest ambassador.
Right.
Our website is www.mountainlovers.com. Anything we talked about tonight, you can hopefully find it there. If you want to call and ask questions, we're there every day, 9 to 5. It's 586-2155. And we have a website for the Trout Capital. It's nctroutcapital.com. We have a website for the Fly Fishing Trail. That is flyfishingtrail.com. And Concerts on the Creek, all of that is online.
All right. Well, fabulous. Well, I thank you for being on my show today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. It's been great.
It's been great. This is the Gateway to the Smokies podcast. And you can find more about us at our Facebook page, facebook.com/Gateway to the Smokies podcast. You can also find us at smokiesadventure.com. There's a link at the top called Gateway to the Smokies podcast that will link to all our previous episodes and summaries and things like that. And you can sign up for a newsletter to find out information that might be useful to you. This podcast is part of the talkradio.nyc network, which is a network of live podcasts, ranging from self-help to small business to pets to travel to interesting information that you might find useful. And they're all live, which makes them very dynamic, I think. And I would recommend you go listen to those. I actually run another podcast on the network called Wise Content Creates Wealth. And that's on Fridays from noon until 1, where I talk about, content marketing and search engine optimization and other marketing techniques using, writers and artificial intelligence and behavioral intelligence and machine learning and different things that can be useful for, even for a small business, to figure out how to promote their business. And you can also find that on Facebook at facebook.com/ Wise Content Creates Wealth. And my marketing company is GalileoTechMedia.com. And of course, I'm promoting also my motel, MetalArkMotel.com. And I hope to see you there. And I hope to see you next Tuesday from 6 to 7 for another Gateway to the Smokies podcast.
Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Informed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.